Jamie and Locker with you on this Tuesday afternoon on the Green Zone. Thanks for spending some of your time with us. A little bit later on this hour, we're going to get back to the news today that Hockey Night in Canada on CBC is no more starting next season. Those Saturday games will
be kind of sad.
It is. Right? It's exclusively on Sportsnet.
Although, I'll be honest, and this isn't me defending Don or what, like, people have heard my opinion on this whole thing. But Hockey Night in Canada hasn't been the same since Don Cherry got let go. It just hasn't had the same sort of, I don't know.
The first intermission was appointment tuning.
Yes, yes. And listen, like, I'm not condoning what he said or what happened or anything like that.
No.
And we don't need to get into it. I've said my piece about Ron. I've said my piece about Don.
Well, I said this at the time. Would you let... Think of everybody in your life. Would you let your 85-year-old, very, very opinionated grandfather on live television? Like, just think about that and go, if they're of a certain vintage and have certain philosophies in life, there's probably someone in your life that go, no, he probably should. That's where Don was at for me.
Yeah.
Where I was like, okay. There was a time, like, there was stuff when there was a different generation.
I wouldn't have
and
let
whether
my
it was right or wrong or whatever, it was like, okay, he's making fun of Europeans back when Europeans were soft and all that stuff. Now, could you say that?
No.
But back then, it's a different era. It's a different time. And Don Cherry had his time.
Don Cherry
is still on my Mount Rushmore as one of the top personalities and people to watch the first intermission on Saturday night. And the Rock'em Sock'em videos and all the other stuff.
We were talking about it earlier, and I've got Ron and Don.
Yeah.
And then I said, I don't think Don would. Ron would not have lasted without Don either. The two of them made that show. They needed each other. So put that in your text pipe.
Some people don't. Yeah. There's very.
Oh, sorry. Not pipe. That's not politically correct anymore. Producer Scotty, just let me know it's your vape pipe.
I really don't know what on that realm of topic is PC or not, to be quite honest.
I'm just covering my butt.
Maybe Britton knows.
I'm just apologizing right away.
Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray is in studio. Just wondering why he's here at all.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Britton Gray.
He's like, are you two done talking about this yet so I can talk about the Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
I think they're called vape pens now. They look like
pens?
Like little USB drives, what they look like now.
They're called pens.
Vape pens.
Like a thing you write with? Can you write with it?
I thought there was different types of them.
I think there's different flavors. You plug them into like your phone charger now, then they light up and they're like a little USB stick.
This is ridiculous.
They look like a key, like the new keys.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a.
Okay. Meanwhile, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders back at practice today, getting set for the Calgary Stampeders on Saturday night. What's the latest on Roland Milligan Jr.?
It might be a couple weeks for old Ro there. That guy is a superhuman. So whatever the timeline is, that's for the average Joe. So I wouldn't put it past old Ro to be back sooner than expected.
So we saw him walk out today. There was no sling or anything, Britton. So right there, I'm like, okay, he'll probably be on the six game. Might miss six, but who knows? Maybe he's on the one game injured list. When he's not in a sling, that is a very good sign of where that injury is for Roland Milligan Jr.
Exactly. It didn't look good when he came out during the game. It was all wrapped up, ice all over it. You were a little concerned because is it pec? Is it shoulder? What's really hurt? We didn't know. As you mentioned, he was walking out there today, no sling on. That's a good sign. And hey, this team's depth got tested last season. Once again, to go to a Grey Cup, you need depth. Here's the first kind of test that they have to overcome.
Who steps in there?
Looks like it's going to be Juju Hughes. He was really good throughout training camp. Scott Roblin mentioned him a lot throughout camp. I saw a lot of rave reviews about what he was doing out there. He was there today. Nelson Lacombo also wasn't there today, so that means Jackson Ford was at safety. Not sure exactly what's going on with Nelson. We'll wait and see on that. Maybe get some more information because in the game, they did have Nelson there. And when asked about Lacombe, Corey Mace said that he actually thinks Nelson's a really, really good defensive back. They just don't play him there. They think he's really good at corner. So maybe if he's back, do they switch it? But for today, it was Juju Hughes, and I imagine they'll want to kind of keep the ratio as is if they can.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is kind of Roland's defense, though, right? Like when he's out there?
Well, he's the top defensive player of the year of 2 years ago. Still, I think, the top defensive player on this team for Roland Milligan.
But he's kind of the guy that's like calling plays and keeping
they
people.
They all do. So
okay,
this defense, when you talk to Corey Mace and Josh Bell, that they want guys who can all do that, which is communicate and see yeah. and identify and all the there's
not one guy.
Jameer Thurman is, you know, James Vodder's the veteran now, comes in. You also have Marcus Sales, who's a veteran. Fields has been around. Josh Woods is a veteran of this league. It's not just Rowe as the captain calling plays. It's they have headsets now too, so it's they're getting the communication and the headset and the helmet on who's calling plays. But after week one, no surprise, Trevor Harris, one of the top players of the week in the CFL, along with Tyson Philpott.
Correction.
And Davis Alexander.
Old as dirt, Trevor Harris. 40. Look at him showing everybody.
He's putting the kids to shame is what he's doing.
Yeah,
he really is. Trevor Harris. But what a week. From Harris as he gets set to take on the Calgary Stampeders for an encore.
I mean, super efficient. It looks like his release might be even quicker. When you saw the BC Lions, some of the blitz they called, guys were coming in untouched and the ball was out before they even got there at a full sprint. He knows where to go. And it feels like just having another year, having these guys healthy, the trust is there. There was one ball to Keyshawn Johnson that he kind of just threw up and expected Keyshawn to get there. That one that got to Sam Emelis, I have no idea how it got there to begin with that three BC lines around and one guy diving in, but it got there. The other one, the pump fake, just throw it up to Keen Schaefer Baker along the sidelines. You can tell he has the trust especially those top three receivers that we always talk about, that it does, they don't have to be right where at the spot to get it. He'll throw it to where he expects them to go, and they will go, and I think that's part of what's made this offense clicking so good so far. And Trevor Harris also mentioned, we talked about the parity in the league. He's mentioned every other team. There's a lot of consistency now in the CFL, or maybe 10 years ago there was a whole bunch of movement every which way. Offenses are keeping guys together, and maybe that's why you're seeing the offenses really clicking to begin the CFL season, when we're used to them maybe starting a little bit, maybe not starting as quick as we have previously.
What did you and the game day crew think about the plays they were running? Do you think they were being relatively safe, or did you see the creativity you wanted in a game one of the season for the Riders?
Well, it's the attack of what Trevor Harris can do. It's Keyshawn Schaefer Baker, Sam Emelis, Keyshawn Johnson. Those are going to be your top three guys. Then you're going to sprinkle in a little Dell Duncan Busby, right? Jalen Johnson, and running the ball with AJ Ouellette. That offense was efficient. And when Trevor Harris is running things, you're going to get a very consistent offense. It's going to be the two-step drop. It's whatever Trevor sees is what this offense is. He'll read it pre-snap. That's my play. Two-step, three-step drop. Boom. Deliver the ball. Good luck trying to get him on the ground in a sack. You better have good coverage.
Well, and even when BC was getting there, that offensive line gave Trevor a lot of time. Even when the first read wasn't there, there was a lot of plays where it was a clean pocket. He could go to his second and third guy and no one even around him. And that's part of it, too. This offensive line, I've said it before, might be the best in the entire CFL with everyone healthy.
Were you surprised at how many times the lack of times he went to AJ? I thought AJ would get a little bit more involved.
Well, he had, 15 carries in that game or something like that?
I don't know. It seemed like he's been more involved in past games to me. I don't know why.
He didn't have the big breakaway run, right?
That's a good
BC
point.
Did a really good job of kind of keeping him intact. He had a couple big runs, but we didn't see the 20-yarder followed by another 15. It just didn't feel like he really built up that energy we're used to seeing AJ Ouellette, which is
maybe that's
credit
it.
To the BC Lions. That's still a really good defensive line there. But just I saw a few people mentioning that they didn't feel like AJ ran the ball well, but once again, He was efficient when he ran it. He ran it well enough that BC had to take into account play action, which is what also what helped make that offense so good.
Yeah, 15 carries. His average of 4.6 isn't great. Not terrible, but not great. But we'll see. That's only one game under the belt for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Real quick before you go, Britton, some other guys look to be working their way back to the lineup. Nick Weeb, who, of course, suffered the head injury at practice last week. And we saw Benoit Marion put on a jersey for the first time all season.
Yeah, Nick Weeb looked good. He was sprinting out there. Hopefully he can get back. We know how good he is on special teams and what he means to the team there. And Benoit Marion just adds another Canadian depth piece to this team. He can be a contributor out there, really good on special teams as well. But they were getting to a little bit of a point where it was with the Canadians. Boy, you lose one. Who's going where? What kind of roster configuration do you have to do? So getting these guys back help with that.
Now that is Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray with an update on the green and white as they get set for the Calgary Stampeders. Of course, we'll have more coming up. Mark Steven, the voice of the Stamps, will be joining us to look at Calgary, who's coming off a bye week after a week one loss to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Also coming up, who makes your Mount Rushmore as Hockey Night in Canada on CBC is done after this season. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone on this Tuesday afternoon. Well, the news came today in a joint news release from Sportsnet and CBC announcing that Hockey Night in Canada on CBC is done. No longer on Saturday nights will you flip over to CBC to watch Hockey Night in Canada. In fact, CBC owns the brand Hockey Night in Canada, so from going forward, it will be Saturday night hockey on Sportsnet, which is
it'll be interesting to see what they do with
here.
Do with Ron. Is this
they 12 years ago they tried. George Strombolopoulos came in, but it was too much change. So remember back then, Canadians actually you might be texting about Ron McLean today, saying how much of a woke idiot he is and he should be gone. You might have signed the petition 12 years ago to bring him back because you hated George that much. Remember, there was a petition to bring back Ron McLean.
I would be willing to bet a large sum of money that some of the texters texting in about their hatred for Ron McLean today were part of that campaign to bring him back after George got that gig. And I know George. I've sat down and had beers with George. George is an interesting duck. But that was, and I was entertained by it because I knew him, but it was also something I understood why people pushed back.
Yeah, how dare he wear skinny jeans on Hockey Night in Canada? Let's get to the 1 minute drill.
George was like Dennis Miller on Monday Night Football. That was like a bomb went off, too.
The best part of Dennis Miller on Monday Night Football was...
You needed a dictionary.
Well, like, on Tuesdays on ESPN, they would actually go through all the references Dennis made on Monday Night Football.
To explain it?
And explain what the heck he was talking about.
I do have a memory of that as well.
Meanwhile, the latest in sports, it was Kylian Mbappe with two goals in a 3-1 win for France. It's star power today because Lionel Messi's also on the pitch. Tomorrow, should we have like a GoPro camera in Sarah Mills' office when England is playing their first match of the World Cup?
We should probably clear that with her just to make sure she is that.
Or at least like a microphone. We don't have video, but we can have audio.
Prematurely end her employment
here. We'll bleep it out. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, some news and notes from around the National Hockey League. But who would be on your Hockey Night in Canada Mount Rushmore. That means you only get four names to put there.
Kevin Bieksa?
No. I don't even know. People are texting in Drew Remenda. I don't even know if Drew would put his name on the Mount Rushmore of Hockey Night in Canada. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Got Hope you're having a good Tuesday afternoon. Of course, we are tracking some of the weather alerts that are out there in Saskatchewan right now. You have some severe thunderstorm warnings in areas around the Rosetown area right now. So that is an active system. Also, another severe thunderstorm warning. That is closer to Hodgeville, Gravelburg area in the southern part of the province. So these are thunderstorms just popping up here, there, and everywhere. Let us know what you're seeing and when it's safe to do so. You can send us a text at 1-877-332-8255. But
Saturday looks okay.
Right. Interesting news with the meeting coming up. The city of Regina needing almost $9 million for stadium upgrades for Mosaic Stadium ahead of the 2027 Grey Cup. Remember, next year, Saskatchewan is hosting the first ever Grey Cup with a 100-yard field, 15-yard end zones, and goalposts at the back. We will host the first ever Grey Cup with those new field dimensions. So we know this. The lines are stitched, and usually a turf field is 10 years. We're at its life expectancy. They need a new field. So that's part of the $9 million upgrades.
So we can't blame Stu 100% for...
No. They were probably going to replace that turf soon anyways. But they aren't... I believe they're not going to stitch in the lines this time. So you can
have... Which makes it more...
You can have... You can flip it to a soccer field and all the other stuff quickly. Or if you sports doesn't change...
Why wouldn't they have done that in the... First play.
Don't start with me. That's the first thing I said 10 years ago.
Where were you on the roof?
There is no roof, so I wasn't anywhere on the roof. Get it? No? Okay. So, the video board may need replacing. And you're thinking, really?
Some work needs to be done to the sound system as well.
Well, yeah, just fix the mic batteries. But here's why. So they had an assessment come in, and it noted that Saskatchewan's extreme seasonal temperature fluctuations were a bit of an issue for the video board. Couldn't see that coming. But also, combined with the ongoing vibration exposure from the nearby railroad tracks. So for all who want those things shifted out of downtown Regina, there's another reason. Screwing up the video board at Mosaic Stadium. So they might have to replace that ahead of the 2020.
Cue rant from Woody. Even I've heard that rant, and I never met Woody.
Yeah, Warren Woods. He led the charge to get the rail lines moved. Especially on the ring road for all of Regina. So there's an update that is going to be debated. It's coming out of the reserve fund, apparently, for Regina. So just dip into that a little deeper.
There's a reserve fund? Your taxes are going up, everybody. We'll just throw that out there.
11% tax increase. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Remember that?
So next year it'll be 15.
Oh no! This was supposed to be just like a one thing, and now they're gonna fix that infrastructure so we don't have to have such huge tax bumps. Now I'm just gonna get angrier. So let's talk about Ron McLean and Don Cherry instead, shall we? Hockey Night in Canada. It's no more. That's it. CBC and Hockey Night in Canada.
I'm kind of
are
upset
done
about that.
With their partnership. It is for Canadian. This has
been
part of our world.
Yeah.
For 70 years.
I also have a pretty strong opinion about CBC and how much money.
See, I separate Hockey Night
dollars,
in Canada CBC from the rest of the CBC.
Okay, see, I've tried over the years, but I kind of the waters are muddy in that conversation for me, because I've always thought you and I know this business and we've been involved in this business for a long time, and the fact that they're propped up and they're not forced to actually compete with the rest of media in this country bothers me. And I've heard stories, none of it can be backed up, but you hear stories about how they have a budget. And
well,
they're
a government corporation, so
they spend
they
money.
Make sure they spend their budget so they get their budget.
Yeah, and that drives me nuts considering what the rest of the media landscape looks like in this country. So I've always sort of had that push-pull, because I am a fan. I'm sort of a traditionalist when it comes to hockey and Hockey Night in Canada. Like, I was mad when they weren't allowed to use the original song anymore.
When the
right?
song changed?
Yeah, like that bothered me. And
so that is what this entity has been. It has been a heritage moment for Canadians. Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada.
If you're not even
CBC.
A hockey fan, we play that song, you know exactly what that is. If you're Canadian, you hear the first two bars of that song and you're like, Hockey Night in Canada. Yeah. It's over. Like, who doesn't know that?
So the song, when they changed the song, that was a whole deal. When George became the host, that was a whole deal. People were petitioning to get Ron back, and now they want Ron gone 12 years later. But we're asking you, who should be on the Mount Rushmore of Hockey Night in Canada? If you were doing the Mount Rushmore, the four faces of Hockey Night in Canada, who are they and why? There's no doubt all of Saskatchewan, nearly all of Saskatchewan, we don't have to debate it. Don Cherry is there. Since the 80s, when they put him on the air, he has been Hockey Night in Canada. First intermission, Coach's Corner. Up until, what was that, 2020? 2019?
Yeah.
Remembrance Day? The Poppy Rant? And that was it for Don. Another person getting a lot of votes is Dave Hodge.
Dave, I don't know why. I've never had the same connection with...
Well, he had another...
Bob Cole.
...memorable departure from Hockey Night in Canada when he flipped the pen and they went to a movie and he got... ticked off about it. So that was
Bob Cole for me.
Bob Cole's on mine for sure. Foster Hewitt. Foster Hewitt has to be
on
it.
I know. I know.
It's Foster Hewitt.
I know. I can't leave Harry Neal off.
Like that, the opener put in Foster Hewitt from that iconic phrase. The United States and Newfoundland, because it was on before Newfoundland was officially even a province.
I don't know. Like, I'm older than you.
So if I'm Foster Hewitt, Bob Cole, Don Cherry, I have to find a fourth. Sorry to Drew Remenda.
You're not putting Ron on your list. Why?
Don kind of represents... Don't tell me I'm bowing to nothing, by the way. But when I look at all the names and the generations of Hockey Night in Canada... Don represents kind of that era. Foster Hewitt represents the early going. Now, Danny Gallivan as well, if you want to go back. But Bob Cole was the play-by-play voice. Now I feel like you need a color guy, right? You have the historic play-by-play, then Bob Cole for generations was the next play. We don't have a color guy yet. Is it Harry Neal? Dan Kelly did some color.
Was Ron on Hockey Night Canada for longest?
Is he
Ron
the longest?
Yeah. You got to have Ron. I'm sorry.
So Ron's number four then. Don, Ron, Bob, and Foster Hewitt. Though you don't have Foster Hewitt on your list.
I, I just
you want to put Harry Neal on there.
I loved Harry. He was I found him funny, and the fact that he sounded like the odd time he sounded like he might be half in the bag.
He's the Buffalo Sabres analyst way back in the day, and Bob's, right hand man. When
Howie Meeker has come in a lot.
Of course, here's some of the gold from Bob and Harry.
Yager intercepted, hangs on to it, made a good move, another good move. He's in, scores! What a goal! Yager ties it for Pittsburgh.
There's only four people in the whole rink he didn't deke, and three of them are ushers.
And three of them. Harry Neal.
They were just that duo was iconic for me. Like, just hearing their voices just brings back.
Some people want to put Scott Oak on there.
Scott, yeah.
I think Scott Oak's probably the longest tenured Hockey Night in Canada guy.
I Google it and it's saying Ron. I think Ron and Scott Oak actually got hired around the same time.
Who would be on your Mount Rushmore of Hockey Night in Canada? Howie Meeker, Dick Irvin. Yes.
It is interesting that Scott pulled the pin this year. Did he have a heads up?
Well, maybe. We're not doing this anymore. Let's go. But Foster Hewitt, Harry Neal, Bob Cole, and Don Cherry says Shane. Charles says Dick Irvin has to be on the Mount Rushmore. Dean and Dan both say Howie Meeker have to be on there. Paul says Bob Cole, Don Cherry, Foster Hewitt, Howie Meeker would be his four when it comes to Hockey Night in Canada all-time personalities. As we now know, Hockey Night in Canada on CBC is done.
I almost...
That is weird to say, by the way.
Yeah, the one thing that I think needs to happen, and I think this will depend on where mentally Don is at, because I've seen some videos. He's in his 90s and he has slowed down considerably. I've seen a couple of things in the last 6 months that would suggest that maybe this isn't the best idea, but I was always disappointed on how that ended, and mm-hmm. I felt like it needed to end differently, and I always thought that CBC and Hockey Night in Canada would step up and be the
CBC, and with that departure being the bigger person,
Don probably
that was more Sportsnet's decision than it was CBC's, to be quite honest. They owned the product when all that went down. Sportsnet and Rogers was running the show when that happened.
And Don's pride got in the way. Again, a lot of people blame Ron. I we're not going to get into it, but I always sort of felt like there should have been a better departure for Don. And if this is it for Ron, I hope it's not just like a, hey, Ron, thanks.
We got a new
guy. Come by on Monday and grab your stuff. Get that plant out of here, okay? Because Susan's allergic to it.
Well, like I'm not sure how Rogers is being run. If they're being run by the Vegas Golden Knights, it might be that cutthroat. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Who would be on your Hockey Night in Canada Mount Rushmore? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Taking my message from the veins, speaking my lesson from the brain, seeing the beauty through the...
Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Mark Stevens coming up to tell us more about the Calgary Stampeders getting set for the Rough Riders in week 3 of CFL action.
Passion, pride, the beautiful game.
The Green Zone.
World Cup Report.
The World Cup, of course, continues in Canada, Mexico, and the United States, and it was a star-studded lineup today across the four matches. First up, Kylian Mbappe in France, the runners-up 4 years ago. They beat Senegal 3-1. Norway and Holland is on the pitch for Norway. Of course, the team checked out the Carolina Game 5. They're about to play right now. When you look at what's going on today at the World Cup against Iraq, Argentina, Lionel Messi, the defending champs, take on Algeria later tonight, 7 o'clock. And then you have Austria and Jordan tomorrow. England's first match against Croatia at 2 o'clock, right at the start of the Green Zone. You'll be able to hear Sarah Mills down the hallways reacting as England takes on Croatia tomorrow. And then, of course, Thursday, what is the health of Alphonso Davies? Canada takes on Qatar Thursday at 4 o'clock.
Crowd, eh?
What do you think of those jerseys for Norway? That has the Norwegian, it's the Norwegian flag, but
with the cross.
It's very loud.
I don't hate them. A lot of there's some interesting kits in soccer, right? And some of them can be a little bit like, wow, what are you doing there? Right? But yeah, we're kind of used to in North America, it's different. It's different. Soccer's different.
So Norway is about to take you to the game right now as they take on Iraq. But I can't wait. England tomorrow, Canada Thursday.
Look at that stadium.
At the World Cup.
Insane. Wow. Hey. Look at those big screens. I wonder how much those cost.
There's no trains to run by to rattle them enough that they need to be replaced like they do in Regina, apparently. Hockey Night in Canada on CBC, end of an era, as announced by Sportsnet and CBC today. CBC on Saturday nights will now put a highlight on Canadian athletes and sports near and abroad as Sportsnet takes full control of Saturday night hockey. Meanwhile, in hockey, Joseph Woll got traded today from the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's off to Philadelphia. Emile Andre and Samuel Harrison are coming the other way, and a third-round pick in that trade. And John Tortorella was told he will not be the coach next year in Vegas after his short and pretty successful tenure replacing Bruce Cassidy. Coming up next year on the Green Zone, once again, it'll be Mark Steven who tell you about the Calgary Stampeders heading into week 3 on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.